This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at Dicetower.com.
This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com. Of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 117.
117 is a good number.
117 is a good number. It's also an odd number.
Oh, I know what that means. It means we have an interview.
Odd numbers do mean we have interviews. And this week we have a very special guest. I'm super excited. I work with her a lot on a bunch of different things. We have Erin Dean on the podcast. How are you doing today, Erin?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
No problem. So, Erin, you are a very busy person these days.
I am. I recently quit my day job to focus on board game related activities full time now.
That's awesome. So tell our listeners a little bit about like all of the different things that you're involved in, because you know the list better than I do, I'm sure. Go ahead.
Sure. So right now I am the social media manager for Lucky Duck Games, which is a Polish board game publishing company. Their biggest games are Chronicles of Crime, Jetpack Joyride, Fruit Ninja, among others. Their latest game coming to Kickstarter on October 30th is called Mutants, so definitely check that out. I'm the author of For the Love of Board Games, which is a book about board games and how they were created by interviewing the designers behind the games. That recently just ended on Kickstarter and raised over $50,000, which I was pretty pleased with. I was it was very a rewarding experience, and I'm planning on writing a second book, so I'm excited for that. And then I'm also founding the National Board Game Museum here in the U.S. So that's definitely a big undertaking. And I'm designing some games. I'm working on some other board game content. So needless to say, I'm very busy these days, but it's all good. It's all good stuff. And I'm excited to work on them.
So there is a lot there. So we've done a bunch of work with Lucky Duck. We have published a review of Jetpack Joyride, published a review of Chronicles of Crime, and we will have a review for Mutants. So that's we'll knock that one out and take care of that. But the thing that I really am super interested in that I want to talk about is the National Board Game Museum. So
yes.
This announcement, I mean, I'm sure it didn't come out of nowhere for you, but it came out of nowhere for me. I don't think there's a ton of information out there right now about it, but it absolutely is something that I think, especially for families, there's so much history behind board games that, I mean, the cult of the new is, especially with Kickstarter and all this stuff, and there's so much stuff on the market these days. It's really important to remember that board games have a rich and robust history that goes back, like thousands of years.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's one of our main goals with the museum is to preserve board games and its history and everything that comes with it. Because it's a physical, you know, product or idea, it's definitely worth preserving. And no one is focusing on it solely right now as far as museums go in the United States. The Strong Museum of Play, great museum. They have a very large collection of board games, the largest in as far as museums go in the United States. We definitely want to be the number one museum for board games. That's our, one of our goals. But we just want to preserve its history. We want the museum to be super interactive, meaning like at every exhibit, there's a chance to play a game, whether that's like oversized battleship or the largest Jenga you've ever seen. And, you know, definitely classic games as well as modern board games, and celebrating both both of those sides of the industry.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. When I first heard about this project of the National Board Games Museum, I will admit, having grown up in Rochester, New York, the home of the Strong Museum of Play, I was like, but there's a museum already dedicated to toys, and they have a giant section on board games. But you're right, it may be a large collection, but it's only a tiny fraction of what's available in that museum. And
exactly.
You only ever see a tiny fraction of that tiny fraction at a time.
Right. It's because they have so many other things they focus on. It's not their sole focus. Whereas with this museum, I mean, if you just think about all the different art museums there are thousands and thousands of those. So why not build another huge collection of board games in the United States and totally focus in on that hobby and what it is and its history and its designers and the big influencers like Milton Bradley and the founders of Parker Brothers and all those people, and learning more about them. And we want it to be a museum that changes, you know, every time you come in. We want to have rotating exhibits. We obviously will have permanent exhibits, but we want to have something new every single time you come in. And I also want to start like the National Board Game Hall of Fame, where we induct board games into the Hall of Fame and maybe even do our own yearly reward or awards. And then, you know, hosting game tournaments there would be very cool. There's so many possibilities, and that's what gets me so excited about this museum, is that the possibilities are really endless with this hobby.
So I mean, this is really just getting off the ground right now. Mm-hmm. So how in the world does this start? I mean, this is such an immense and enormous undertaking. I can't even comprehend what the first steps are. Like, what are years 1 through 5 for the National Board Game Museum?
Yeah, so I think the first step was just coming up with the idea, realizing that there was a want and the need for it. You know, just a huge need for preserving the wide array of board games that exist. And, you know, after that, it was kind of starting to form my board of directors, which is still in the works. There's a few people we're wanting to recruit on the board, which we can't announce yet, but we have some really good people involved and are excited to be on the board and are going to make a big difference as far as the museum goes. And then, you know, filing as far as like filing for incorporation. We're working on our 501c3 status to be nonprofit. So all those little baby steps are being worked on right now. But it's really, I keep telling people, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. This is something that's going to take a while. And I want it done right. And I want it done efficiently. But I also want us to think critically of how we want this museum to be and not just rush into things just to get it done. I want it done right. And, you know, it's going to take some time to do that, but it's going to pay off in the long run.
Sure. I think that makes a ton of sense. What if people are hearing this and they're really, really interested and wondering what they could possibly do to help, what could they do? Where could they go? What could they say to who? You know, what's the active part for anyone who wants to be?
Well, I encourage people who are interested in volunteering or just at least learning more or just want to be involved some way or another to go to our website, boardgamemuseum.org, and fill out the contact form. That contact form goes directly to me, and I will be able to kind of filter through what people are wanting to do, either adding them to our volunteer list or seeing if they're like, you know, maybe even a potential future staff member, and getting their resume or whatever it might be. Right now, the possibilities are endless. So I encourage anyone who's interested in being involved to reach out, you know, share with me how you want to be involved and what way you want to be involved. And hopefully we can find a place for your interest and your expertise.
Cool.
So I might as well ask this question. I mean, again, I know we're in the early phases here, or the early stages, but in terms of a brick and mortar location, because obviously you've talked about things like exhibits and rotating exhibits and places for people to go and volunteer or work or whatever. Do you have any vision at this point as to where in the U.S. this thing is going to be based?
I think it'll definitely be in the Midwest. As far as city goes, we haven't nailed that down yet. We're looking at a few different options, but we definitely are looking more towards the Midwest region for sure.
Okay, interesting.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I mean, that's where Gen Con is in the Midwest.
That's true. That's
Origins,
true.
Origins. Yeah.
Awesome.
You know, and I think with this museum, we're really, one of my main missions in founding this museum is that I want it to be interactive. You go to so many different museums and it's just kind of a walk, look. And I want this to be very hands-on because that's what board games are. You know, it's something that's tactile and that you can feel and play with. And obviously, you know, like we have the first edition of Monopoly or something like that. It's not like everyone's going to be able to pass that around and play hot potato with it or anything like that. But we definitely want to have an interactive component. We want to be a, you know, please touch museum where it's very interactive and people are going to be able to engage with the exhibits.
Sure. I mean, that's that, like you said, that's what board games are all about. It's mm-hmm. picking up the pieces, playing the game,
right,
figuring how it all fits together.
Right.
Sure.
All right. Awesome. So, I mean, that's something that I'm really excited about. I definitely think that we will keep our eyes on that. Well, I like that I've got some nice lead time on planning a family trip. So,
actually awesome.
Several years out. Yes.
Right.
Years
definitely. Out. Okay. Yeah. So, like I said, it is a marathon, but it's a marathon worth running. And we're excited to bring it to fruition and see where it can go and all its different possibilities and exploring every avenue that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So let's talk about your book, For the Love of Board Games. So obviously this was, I don't recall what the goal was, but I think 50,000 is probably a pretty smashing success on that. And you've got to be super happy about that.
Yeah. I mean, it was almost 1,000% funded because our original goal was 6,000. So we ended up with $56,000. So very close to 60K. And, yeah, it totally exceeded my expectations. It was my jaw just dropped that first day when we were funded in 4 hours. It was just crazy. And it was a unicorn project, meaning that there aren't a ton of books being written about board games, and especially the angle I took. In fact, with the fact that it's, you know, going behind the scenes and how board games were created. There's a ton of game design books, but this is more of like,
yeah,
fun facts about the games and the inspiration. Like, did you know that Matt Leacock figured this out when he was taking his daughter on a walk one day in the stroller or whatever it is, you know, all those different right. stories that you had no idea brought these games to life are now being revealed, as well as the designers themselves giving tips to inspiring designers, I think is a very cool aspect of the book as well. And just the amount of names I got, I think drew a lot of people in. I interviewed over 53 designers, including Richard Garfield of Magic the Gathering, Matt Leacock of Pandemic, Reiner Caninzia of Tigris and Euphrates, just a ton of people. And I think I started writing the book and contacting designers in February, and the fact that I launched the book in August, it was a pretty quick process. I mean, like,
I'll say.
Yeah, but I was really happy with the success, and I'm the type of person when I have my mind set on something, I want to get it done. And especially when it's about board games, it's just it gives me so much more motivation because I'm so passionate about it, and it's just so much fun to work on projects related to it.
Right. So for people who are listening that are interested in this book, obviously they've missed the Kickstarter window. Is there like a late backer opportunity now? Is there a web store that they'll be able to get it once it's in print, or what's
yes.
the situation there?
So right now you can still pre-order it and do a late pledge on Kickstarter just by searching For the Love of Board Games book on Kickstarter.com, and you can still do a late pledge at this time. When that ends, eventually it's going to be on Amazon. It's going to be on BookBaby. It's going to be on EPUB for digital copies of the book. So there's going to be a lot of different avenues where you can buy it. And then also just encouraging your friendly local gaming stores to look into it and see if it's the right fit for their store and maybe getting some copies for your game store locally.
Sure.
Cool.
Sounds like a cool thing. And you mentioned that you're going to be working on another book. Do you know what direction you're going to go with that? I assume it's going to be based on board games in some way.
Yeah, it's almost going to be the volume two of this book. So it's going to be more names, definitely more female designers in the next book, which I'm excited about. And there's just so many names in the industry that have yet to be interviewed. So there's just a huge potential there to keep the ball rolling.
Cool.
Awesome.
So in addition to everything else we've already talked about, you also had mentioned to us before the show that you are working on some game design yourself.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
So the story behind it is actually very interesting. I went to a psychic for fun, for entertainment, where it has tarot cards and tells your future or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was at the psychic, and she keeps telling me, she goes on and on for like a couple of minutes about, you're going to design a children's game. You're going to design a children's game. I'm like, okay, stop. What are you talking about? I have no ideas for games. I have no desire to design a game. I'm working on so many other projects. But she's like, don't be surprised if it happens. And then 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from my dad, actually. And he was saying that, hey, I know this family friend, and they're designing this children's game, and they need help with it. And so I got in touch with my co-designer, and we've been working on the game ever since. And it was just really weird. It was just kind of like a, almost like chills down, you know, my neck or something. It was really weird. When it kind of...
Wait, but psychics are supposed to be like a gag thing.
What? I know, right? Exactly. That's what I thought too. It was just going for laughs kind of thing. And this happened and ended up becoming true.
Wow, cool.
But basically, the game I'm working on that I'm most excited about is called Treedles on the Tree. It's a Christmas board game. It's a children's family game for 2 to 6 players, plays in about 15 minutes. But basically, the story behind the game is that there's a blizzard that has hit Treedle Village. And when the blizzard was going on, some wind knocked the star down on the top of the Christmas tree. So now all the star pieces are hidden in the tree. And the Treedles have to team up together. It's a cooperative game, and work together to find all 5 star pieces before Santa comes and flies by. Because if the star's not lit, and because it's a blizzard, Santa's not going to be able to see the village, and he's just going to keep flying by. So you got to quickly get to the star to the top of the tree and put it back together before Santa arrives so he can deliver presents. You know, you basically roll on your turn. You're going to have a choice of where you want to move on the tree. And as you move, you're going to be flipping over these cardboard discs. And they are going to either reveal a ornament or a wackadoo. And a wackadoo is this crazy bird that stole the star pieces. And you have to feed them candy to get the star piece back and put back on the top of the tree. So that engages in a kind of quick dice rolling battle, if you you may say. And it's very fun. Kids have responded to the theme very well. They really gravitate towards the Christmas theme and the fact that we have to kind of race to get the star pieces before Santa arrives. And it's just a really fun, light game that I think a lot of families are going to enjoy around the holidays. And there's a lack of, you know, Christmas games. There's not a ton out there. So I'm excited to kind of tap into this, you know, untapped market, this niche in board game themes.
Sure.
So what's the timing on the game? It sounds like it's probably a little close for this Christmas.
Yes. So we're probably going to launch Q1 of next year as far as Kickstarter mm-hmm. goes, and then it'll be probably fulfilled to backers early fall. So before next Christmas.
Right. Okay.
So not this coming Christmas, but the next Christmas.
Right.
So where can people find more? Do you have a Facebook page for it? Or
yes. We have a Facebook group where you can search Treedles on the Tree. Treedles is spelled T-R-E-E-D-L-E-S. And you can just search that, and you can join our Facebook group for all the updates on the game. We're also working on a website right now, which eventually will be live, but it's going to be under thetreedles.com. So thetreedles.com. And that'll be live soon, where you can sign up for our newsletter and learn more about the game. But right now, the best way to stay updated is to just go to our Facebook group.
Awesome. So okay. Anitra will include a link to that in our show notes. So
yes,
if anybody is curious, they can just shoot over to the show notes and all the links will be there. So that'll be nice and easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is all we have on our our list here, but it, I mean, it would be really foolish of me to have you on the phone, the expert in board games that you are, and not ask you what you're excited about coming out of Essen the next 4 or 5 days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. There's so many games. You know, I'm really... I think the game I'm... I don't even know if it's going to be at Essen, but the game I'm most excited about coming out, I backed it on Kickstarter a while ago. It's probably going to get to backers probably early 2019. The game I'm most excited about playing is called Detective City of Angels, which is kind of a sandbox, almost LA Noir, if you've heard of that video game, kind of detective game,
mm-hmm.
where there's interrogation and, you know, talking to suspects, and there's a person that acts as the chisel, which is kind of like the game moderator, and he responds for people, and it's a very, very cool game, and I'm super excited to play it. I love mystery-themed games, and I'm super pumped to play that. So that's what I'm most my most anticipated game of next year is probably that one, but, as far as Essen goes, I mean, there's just a huge list. I couldn't even name one.
Well, we just found out about the expansions to Sagrada.
Oh, yeah, I saw that today.
The 3 expansions, yeah.
The Familia or whatever it's called? Sagrada Familia?
It's the Sagrada, it's the Passion.
Oh, that's seven. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I love Sagrada. I have yet to pull the trigger on the 5-to-5-player expansion. Or is it 5-to-6? Does it add?
It's 5- and 6-player expansion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I saw that at my local game store, and I almost picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sagrada, but I have a hard enough time getting 4 people to play it. So
yeah.
The expansion hasn't really been in the works for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Anitra and I have a great debate about whether Sagrada or Role Player is a better game.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
She's Sagrada, and I'm Role Player, so...
Because they would seem to be very similar on the surface, but... Right. You're right, actually doing very different things with your dice. But so
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, and somebody I just got a message while we were doing this interview that somebody greenlit a Mice and Mystics movie.
Oh wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
That is cool.
I mean, this is unvarnished opinions right now that I literally just heard about. DreamWorks Animation to develop Mice and Mystics movie.
Ooh, DreamWorks is good at that stuff.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Crazy.
I'm excited.
I don't know.
More exposure. More exposure for the board game industry, right? That's awesome.
Right. We have every Mice and Mystics game.
Well, and I would also say my hopes are high, even though up to this point there's only ever been one movie based on a board game where the movie was actually good.
Clue. Yeah
the 80s Clue. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... Well, all right. I mean, I think that is all that we have. Aaron, is there anything that you'd like to add that we didn't get to?
I don't think so. You know, again, if you want to learn more about the museum, definitely go to our website, boardgamemuseum.org. And to learn more about Treedles, join our Facebook group, searching Treedles on the Tree -Board Game. And then finally, for my book, you can search it on Kickstarter. Just search For the Love of Board Games, and it should pop right up.
Awesome.
Cool.
And are you on social media? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so I am on Facebook, just Aaron Dean, E-R-I-N-D-E-A-N. I'm on Twitter, but I'm not very active on there, so I won't even give that one. If you want to follow me, you can, but it's DeanMachine100. And then I'm also on Instagram. I have my personal account, which is DeanMachine100 as well. And then I also have my board game photography Instagram page, which is Love of Board Games.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, thank you guys so much. This was great, and I had a lot of fun, and it's always great talking board games with people, so...
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, well, it's one of our favorite things to do.
Yeah.
Right. And don't forget, you can find us online, too.
Yeah, there's lots of different places that you can find us. The easiest place is on our social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, @FamilyGamersAA.
Easy to remember. Mm-hmm. AA for Andrew and Anitra. You can also join our Facebook group, and the easiest way to find that is to go to thefamilygamers.com/community. It brings you right to our Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
You could email us.
Andrew @thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. We get super excited for email.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the show, tell your friends about the show, and leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We are also on tunein.com, which means that you can listen to us from your Amazon Echo or other smart speaker.
Smart home device.
The Family Gamers Podcast is sponsored by Wild East Games. Find Wild East Games online at wildeastgames.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @Wild East Games.
Well, I think that's going to be it for this week.
All right. Well, until next week,
play games with your kids.